Thank you, Your Honor. Thomas Gagin for the plaintiff's appellants. May it please the court. At this very early pleading stage, we're here on appeal from a dismissal of a Rule 12b6 motion. The plaintiffs want to emphasize that we're seeking a reasonable alternative, any reasonable alternative, to one day in-person voting at a poll 13 hours in the middle of the work week. That alternative could be no-fault absentee voting, such as 27 states now have. I'm correcting our brief because there have been other states since we filed this case that have moved to the system. Or, as Texas and 15 other states have, early election voting, which is in-person polling over a period of days, including weekends, multiple polling sites reasonably available to the voters, or the all-mail ballot, such as Oregon has, or some combination of all these, an extension of hours. This is not a case where we are seeking an absentee ballot as such, but that's one of the remedies that we are seeking. First, we're alleging a hardship. Well, under the Burdick standard, which is the standard that does apply here, the district court recognized that. The first question, an inquiry of the court, is the magnitude of the injury. Is there a hardship? In some cases, it's absolutely impossible for these plaintiffs to vote. Take Dr. Newstrom. She has an emergency. She has a diabetic. She can't leave the diabetic to die. She can't get to the polls. But it's a hardship. That's correct, Judge. That's correct. Why working mothers? Because working mothers were interested in this issue. Women employed was... First, we aren't bringing a class action, Your Honor. And some of it... Because we... Yes, they are, because these five working mothers cover the gamut of the workforce. Some of them are professionals, some of them are hourly workers. We could have brought in others, but it was actually women's organizations that were especially interested in this issue, and we fought on their behalf. Your Honor, I do feel that plaintiffs do submit that working women have, especially single working mothers, are a dramatic example of the changes in the economy. That's correct, Judge. But these are dramatic examples. This isn't a class action, and this was a suit that really had the support of working women's organizations. And there is a special problem that working mothers face in trying to juggle the long commute. Plaintiffs accept that. This is a fundamental right, and it's a fundamental right that is at issue here. And this is not a suspect classification case. Yes. There are two ways of cutting this. One is under Burdick versus Takeuchi, which is here's in, the plaintiffs don't have a reasonable opportunity to vote because the state restricts that. So that we begin by looking at what is the right at stake. And the right at stake is the opportunity to vote by some means or another. And in fact, that is what the court stressed in McDonald versus Board of Election when it said that it wasn't going to require absentee ballots, but there had to be some ability to vote by some means or another. The other way of looking at this case is the jailhouse cases, which is O'Brien versus Skinner and so forth, where the court says, okay, absentee voting is a privilege here, but you've got to extend it to people who are similarly situated, and not just other detainees. Well, if you're a doctor and you have an emergency operation, and you have to work late at night, if you're a nurse on a shift, you really do not practically have the ability to get to the polls and vote. And that is what we're complaining about. There are cases here, and we do instances here, where people simply can't possibly get to the polls. Bill Clinton's doctor. It sure does. Absolutely. Judge, the reason that Illinois has not moved into the modern age with the 27 states and the 16 states is the General Assembly is adamant in keeping a system that perpetrates vote fraud, and that's part of the allegations of the complaint. We're very specific about that. Judge, I want to emphasize, this is a vote fraud case. We are alleging that the system right now, this absentee ballot statute, which is set up that restricts our opportunity, is set up for the purpose of fraud. This is three answers to that. First, this is a constitutional right that's being violated, so it's not up to the legislature to determine whether or not plaintiffs should have a constitutional right. Second, the way the system works is that the people who are most affected by it are the most disenfranchised by it, so they can't work through the legislature to change it. And the third, and the most important and emphatic, and we say this specifically, this is dismissed at a very early pleading stage, we allege counts five in particular, but throughout the complaint, that this particular system of restricting the right to vote is kept in Illinois and will be kept in Illinois after all the other states change for one and one reason only. Not because the legislature is concerned about fraud, but because the political organizations of this state use this absentee ballot statute, which has no standards whatsoever as to who is absentee and who is not, is never enforced. They use it as a kind of a door where, you know, if you're one of the chosen few, you knock on the door, they bring you in, our people vote, we can use this system, you can't. The honest voters of the state aren't allowed in to vote. The dishonest voters are the voters who have sponsors in the wards of this city, and you can go through the ward maps and see one ward, 5,000 absentee votes. We have already started, and it's one of our regrets that we couldn't get this before the judge. We have already gone through the polling data and the absentee ballot applications. You go to the 2100 block of West Cortez. Everybody on the 2100 block of West Cortez is voting absentee. And if you examine those ballots, you will find that they are filled out all the way down to the bottom because the machine and the various political organizations of this state know that the way they control the ballot at the bottom and the way they elect judges to the Circuit Court of Illinois is by controlling through these absentee ballots who votes what down at the bottom of the ballot. This is an extremely corrupt system, and it is kept corrupt and standardless because there has never been any enforcement. Nobody knows what it means to expect to be out of the county and not able to vote. And precinct captains, political captains go through, I'm going into my rebuttal time, so I'd like to reserve 5 minutes. But that's the answer. I could have gone on. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, the question isn't whether the Illinois system has may be applied fraudulently in certain circumstances. The question is whether the Illinois system is constitutionally sufficient. This notion that the Illinois system is kept in place by political parties for the perpetuation of vote fraud is, first of all, not specifically pleaded in the complaint. Sure, allegations of fraud are vaguely there, but there is certainly no specific fraud there. And next, the state has identified certain clear interests in keeping what's basically viewed as the traditional American system of voting in person at the polls. Illinois has real interests in this, such as the prevention of fraud, such as... Sure. I don't think that's what this case is really about. We certainly are at a very preliminary point, but I do want to point out that the facts that are pled, their specific pleadings, do not indicate that they are functionally disenfranchised, that they are unable to go to the polls. It is job and personal responsibilities, that's true, but every single plaintiff has been able to vote. They're always... that's certainly not what the state's saying, Your Honor. But the point is, the allegations of the complaint do indicate that they all have voted, and that they all can vote because they've chosen to run errands instead. I don't think it's something to ignore. I think that these are the textbook illustrations of the type of issues that should be addressed to the General Assembly to address if there's certain plaintiffs are not happy with the way the Illinois election system works. But the fact remains... Your Honor, I don't think the Constitution requires Illinois to make it easy for every person, every single person in all circumstances, to vote. Your Honor, I really don't believe it's the case that Illinois has made it impossible for these people to vote. Nothing in the Illinois statutes prevents these people from voting. They're all entitled to vote. Illinois specifically gives them, requires polls to be open 13 hours on election day, and gives them the 2 hours off from work, essentially, that they're entitled to give. I'm not asking you to make a factual assumption that 100% of the cases are enough. I don't think that's the correct standard. What I'm asking you to do... The standard we're dealing with in this case is whether Illinois has a reasonable voting system. The standard is not whether Illinois makes it easy for 100% of its citizens to vote. I think there is some difference, and I think that if you have to forego running an errand to vote, it's still possible. Maybe you find it inconvenient. Well, certainly not. The care of a family member, of a sick family member, is certainly a very important thing. And realistically, so are, you know, certain errands that need to be run. The fact remains that... that's the complaint. I'm simply quoting the complaint when I bring that up. That's what the complaint we're faced with alleges. Specifically, they must forego running a task or an errand to vote. Under your circumstance, In your hypothetical, if somebody has a sick relative at home that they are taking care of, and they are essentially homebound, and you know this in advance, the answer is make an accommodation. Have somebody come, somebody come and watch your relative. Correct. It is not correct. They misrepresent and I think misread what the form ballot is. The Illinois statute in Section 3 of the article governing absentee ballot sets out the different forms. There's one form that regards specifically an application for an absentee ballot for the person being out of the county. Then there's another form set forth by the statute that's sort of an all-purpose or general form in which you can check which reason, which excuse you're advancing. That form specifically requires a person to certify that they will not be able to vote at the poll that day. The statutory basis is, Your Honor, the actual form that's prescribed by the statutes. The form is part of the statute. It's set forth in the statute, and what it requires is a certification that you will not be able to vote at the poll that day because you expect to be out of the county. In other words, it's sort of... The requirement is that you expect to be out of the county such that you will not be able to vote that day. They are quoting part of the statute. They are quoting part of the form of set forth in the statute. They aren't quoting the entire thing. The opening paragraph of the form that requires you to certify before you get to the different boxes you can check states that I will not be able to vote at the poll. That's correct. That is correct, Your Honor. That is, the not being able to vote in a poll that day modifies the different requirements, such as expected to be out of the county. That's correct, Your Honor. If you have the opportunity, essentially, if you have the opportunity to come back in into the county and vote that day, then you're not entitled to an absentee ballot. The out-of-the-county reason for an absentee ballot is there for those that are going to be out of the county and therefore are not going to be able to vote in person. Well, it's the modification, Your Honor. If the person certifies to the proper election board, if they're going to be out of the county for the entire day and unable to vote at the poll in person. Correct. There is no check on for what reason they're out of the county. Illinois had decided that it had to draw the line somewhere. The Illinois system favors in-person voting. The county line is a line that was drawn. That line is not arbitrary in the sense that it's an easily ascertainable line. And it provides essentially a proxy for geographical distance. In Illinois, one of the basic units for voting is the county. That's correct, Your Honor. But again, the point of that line is that A, it's easily ascertainable, and B, it gives a pretty good indication. You have to be out of the county such that you'll be unable to vote at the poll that day. You would get the absentee ballot, yes, Your Honor. But you would be entitled to an absentee ballot in that circumstance, Your Honor. Your Honor, it's in the statutory provision setting forth the form. I believe Section 3 of Article 19 sets forth the form for absentee ballots, and then that goes on to list a number of different forms that the state statute prescribes. I quote from the forms in my brief when I'm citing that section. That section There's a couple different forms. Okay. With regard to the general all-purpose form, it requires a voter to certify that they will be unable to vote at the poll. And then for the following reason, says for the following reason, set forth below, there's a, I guess, a prefatory paragraph before you get to the point where you check the reason why you're not going to be able to vote at the poll. And it's in that prefatory paragraph where it requires a certification that the voter will not be able to vote at the poll. I certify that I will not be able to vote at the poll because. If you're looking at the specific poll, the application specific to the absent from the county of residence provision, that specific one, I believe that indicates later it within that provision that you're going to be absent in such that you're not going to be able to vote at the poll during the day. Certainly, the language statute does not specifically say I will not be able to vote at the poll between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. But the statutorily prescribed forms do require that you to certify that you're not going to be able to make it to the poll for the following reason, and then. Thank you, Your Honor.
May it please the court. Plaintiffs don't mean to be frivolous, but if we could only be allowed to begin taking discovery in this case of the state board members and the records that they have on the interpretation of this. We had a preliminary look at some of their records on this. They have no standard or interpretation of absentee ballot, but you don't have to take our word about discovery. You can look in the brief itself, their own statements in this case, where when we alleged that a motorist could go across the county line and come back and be eligible for an absentee ballot, here is what the Attorney General representing the state defendants said in a brief in court below. It is not clear that plaintiff's reading is correct. Someone who lives in Highland Park, Illinois, Lake County, and works a few minutes away in Winnetka, Illinois, is not necessarily absent from Lake County if he or she leaves. We read that, it is not clear, not necessarily, as being a statement from these defendants, a judicial admission that they do not know what the statute means. And in fact, they don't know. The attempt to correct it on appeal is a first time only. There has never been an interpretation of the statute. And I happened to have filled out an absentee ballot application during the course of this appeal, just as they were turning in their brief because I was out of the country. And the statute, I was astonished because the absentee ballot application that everyone uses in Cook County is the general form. It's an all-purpose one, not surprisingly. City of Chicago, it's much more efficient to send out the all-purpose one instead of the out-of-county one. And all this says, and I'm reading from the exact application, which I can assure the court is word for word from the statute. Yes, but it's in the statute. The statute contains this particular form, and the form says, under penalties of perjury, I affirm that all statements are true and correct. I am applying for an absentee ballot, which I will return to the Cook County's clerk office. Then there's something about that I really live at the address that I live at normally. I am legally entitled to vote in this election, and I'm unable to vote in person for the reason checked below. Check the appropriate category by which you are requesting an absentee ballot. I expect to be absent from Cook County, period. That is all. That is all it says. I am unable to vote in person. So there are three ambiguous terms. First, I expect. I expect definitely. I expect probably. I expect possibly. Out of the county. Unclear what that is. And then unable to vote in person. What does that mean? That I don't have a reasonable opportunity? The plaintiffs in this case allege that they are unable to vote in person. I wanted to say one more thing about the disenfranchisement point that Judge Wood brought up. Yes, sometimes, in some instances, in some elections, the case of the doctor, like Dr. Knudstrom, absolutely disenfranchised, just no possibility, no matter what, unless you left the patient on the operating table to go and vote. But the standard here is not disenfranchisement. The standard here is hardship under verdict. And we have alleged a extreme hardship on these plaintiffs. And the fact of it is that the defense to this hardship under verdict, which the district court, a case the district court did not apply below, the defendants come up and say, here's our defense. The defense is, you can leave work and give up 2 hours of pay and go vote. There is an amendment to the Constitution that says there shall be no poll tax. People are not expected to incur expenses in order to be able to cast a ballot. Of course. I agree. But even if it were not an absolute disenfranchisement, even if it were not a hardship, which we allege it is, even if the impact were lesser, it still is invalid under verdict because, first, this statute is so standardless it doesn't meet the test of minimal rationality. But there's a higher standard than that under verdict. This is not a reasonable regulation. It is not a non-discriminatory regulation. And it is... Pardon? The verdict? The restriction was a prohibition on write-in balloting, and the court upheld the prohibition on write-in balloting. But in Anderson versus Celebrezzi, which is the twin to verdict, there was a restriction on when John Anderson could apply, submit his presidential petitions, whether in March or May. And the court struck that down. The state's interest supposedly was voter education, but Justice Stevens in the court said that's not good enough. And the impact here, the magnitude of this injury, we submit, is much greater than that in Anderson versus Celebrezzi. So whether under the stringent standard or the specialized lesser impact standard of verdict, which says that the regulation has to be reasonable, non-discriminatory, and serve an important regulatory interest of the state, this statute should be struck down. My time is up, I'm sorry.